Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
We will remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. The reading of God's Word will begin in chapter 7 and carry on into chapter 8 of the book of Acts. We'll begin with verse 51 in chapter 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's give thanks and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask your Spirit to be with us richly this morning as you teach us the lessons that we should learn from your word. Help us to have ears to hear and feet to walk in the ways that you would teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. Today we're going to take pretty much our last look at Stephen's confrontation with the Jewish council here at Jerusalem. As we consider the first martyr for the Christian faith and the impact that this event had on the early church, there are going to be, I think, some important lessons for us to learn. This event and these lessons come once again in a very timely manner with the church calendar that we follow here at Church of the King. Today we are celebrating Trinity Sunday, which is traditionally considered to be the first Sunday of ordinary or normal time in the church calendar each year. This year, ordinary time will run for 26 Sundays, bringing us again to the Advent season this fall. From Advent through Pentecost, which we celebrated last week, we remember our history, the history of God's people. We remember it with the coming, the ministry, the sacrifice, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, and finally the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church. And just as we are commissioned each week at the end of our covenant renewal worship, Lord willing, ready and prepared to serve the Lord Jesus during our weekly ordinary time, so the church calendar each year focuses on the ordinary aspect of our lives, where we are to hear and obey the Lord and Savior, Jesus. This year I've chosen a verse from the 5th chapter of Acts to remind us of this each week, where we read, "And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." Now we should also note that in the text we clearly see the fullness of the Trinity in Stephen's life. As he faces his death, where he is filled with the Holy Spirit and allowed to see into heaven, where Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. Very appropriate for Trinity Sunday, and something that we will consider at length at the application part of our sermon this morning. But first, I want us to quickly consider some important lessons that we should learn as Stephen faces a violent death. Stephen teaches us about proper confrontation. Stephen teaches us about how a Christian should view death. And Stephen teaches us a very sober lesson about forgiveness. And finally, there will be a lesson for us as a church where we once again see God's complete control over circumstances as He advances the kingdom of His Son under the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That'll be something that we, Lord willing, will consider at length next week. So our first lesson this morning is about confrontation. And it is something that Mike has discussed over and over again in our Sacramento weekly study on Judges on Wednesday night. As we function as the salt and light that we are called to be in the world, there will be conflict. God established this conflict Himself when He told the serpent in the garden that He would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, of course, God announced right there at the beginning what the outcome of this conflict will be. So there's no sense of God sitting in heaven wondering how things are going to turn out. He indeed said that Jesus would have His heel struck at the cross, but Satan would have his head crushed. The work of Jesus was accomplished at the cross. It was confirmed by His resurrection and will be consummated at the end of time when Satan is cast into the lake of fire and the final enemy of death is defeated. This conflict is carried out between the groups that follow the Son of God and those who follow their father, Satan. The sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares, as the two groups are described variously in the Scriptures. God has placed enmity between them, and at times we see it very clearly. The end of Stephen's defense is such a time. As we considered 2 weeks ago, rather than be convicted of their sin and repenting, these religious leaders hardened their hearts. They gnashed their teeth at Him. They stopped up their ears and charged at Stephen, dragging him outside of the city and stoning him to death. Now, I think it's important for us to consider in the American age that there was no need for the disciples to have any kind of after-meeting review of Stephen's defense to evaluate how he could have been more seeker-friendly or made his points in a more relevant way. Stephen was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit before, during, and after his defense, and he said exactly what needed to be said. This is where we are called to be faithful and to trust God for the results. We are to be ready to give an answer for the faith, but we must understand that the results are in God's hands. As Paul said in the letter to the Corinthians, the gospel is the aroma of life to those who are being saved and the stench of death to those who are lost. And we must remember that while we are called to be confrontational and we'll often see confrontation, it is not our job to be obnoxious. And sometimes we can use that as an excuse. In Stephen's case, we see that the reaction is so strong that it leads to his violent death. Stephen is the first Christian martyr. A martyr is one who gives his life in the defense of the gospel or the faith. He would be followed by many thousands more as the kingdom of Jesus advanced across the world. And saints continue to give their lives to the faith in some portions of our world even today. It is something that we must all, as saints, ultimately be prepared to endure, knowing that God will give us the strength and faith to face death, should that be our calling. Now, this leads naturally to the second lesson that I believe Stephen teaches us here. As servants of the Most High God, Christians should be unafraid to face death. Now, I don't think Stephen wanted to be stoned. And I'm sure that his wife, if he was married, did not think it was a very good idea. And neither did the others in the church. But Stephen was willing to face even a violent death as he gave his defense of the gospel and shows how we are to be confident that God is in control even in the face of death. None of us like to think about death. None of us want to die. And certainly none of us want to die a violent, painful death. However, none of us is in control of how or when we will die. Let me repeat that. None of us are in control of how or when we will die. The Bible in Job chapter 14 verse 5 teaches that a man's days are numbered by God. He knows the day of our death. And that should give us great comfort. Stephen was experiencing what Jesus had taught the disciples. He did not fear what these men could do to his body. But he rightly feared the God who after death had the power to cast one into hell. Stephen could be at peace because he knew who his Savior was, even at the point of death. As the writer of the Hebrews says, it has been appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Stephen sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, reminding us that we will all be with Him on the other side of our physical death. This is the comfort that Christians have that the world cannot take away, and the one that we must remember in the midst of our death or the death of saints that we love. Now, as difficult is it for us to truly be at peace about death, this is not the hardest lesson that Stephen has to teach us here. Stephen can also teach us much about forgiveness. From Stephen, we can learn what it really means to forgive and how having such godly forgiveness does not mean compromising the truth. Stephen demonstrates his peace in the midst of death by commending his spirit to the Lord Jesus as he was stoned. That was a great witness. But then his final cry, and Luke says it is a loud cry, which would have been very difficult in the midst of being stoned. His final cry is not for himself, and it is not one of condemnation. Stephen cries with a loud voice and asks that this sin, the sin of stoning him unjustly, not be charged against them. Here we see why Luke I believe, has told us so many times that Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, one could argue that Stephen could muster the peace about his death by being focused on where he was going, especially seeing Jesus. But there is simply no human explanation for this cry. This is the Spirit of God bringing glory to Jesus in the life of one of His saints. Rather than exhibiting anger, sorrow, revenge, outrage, or any of the other perfectly justifiable emotions at this point in his wrongful execution by very violent means, Stephen again reflects the love and the concern that his Savior demonstrated on the cross when Jesus cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is something, brothers and sisters, that we cannot be taught to do. This is not something that we can practice. It is so contrary to our human nature that if we are honest, we cannot even imagine being able to do such a thing. You know, we're ready and willing to forgive those who seek forgiveness, who come repenting and saying they're sorry, or at least, Lord willing, I hope we are. We can even muster up some feelings of forgiveness for unrepentant people who have offended others, and maybe us if it's not been too serious. But put yourself in Stephen's shoes and try to imagine crying out as he did. These men have refused to hear the truth, right up to the point of stopping their ears. They have corrupted the entire nation of Israel to where its destruction is imminent. They have crucified the Savior. And now they have hauled you outside the city and they're hurling stones at you until you die. As I reflected on this week, I know that I would certainly be more likely to want to recite the words of Psalm 83 at this point and be praying that these men would soon be dung upon the ground. That's what I'd be praying. And as we consider all this, we need to understand that we do see the balance that we need in our Christian lives. In both cases, we know that Jesus and Stephen had confronted the wicked ways of these leaders. Jesus had called them whitewashed graves and announced that they were going to be destroyed within the generation. Stephen had said they were stiff-necked murderers. So they weren't pulling any punches. But with their dying breaths, they asked God to be merciful. Yes, we at times are called to pray those imprecatory prayers and ask that God rightly judge His enemies, as we know that He ultimately will. However, we are also called to forgive those who do sin against us. And at least I know for me, that's the tougher prayer to pray. We're to do it not 7 times, as Peter was willing to do, but 70 times 7, as Jesus instructed him. Something that is not humanly possible. Stephen was not reacting in the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we have seen witnessed by martyrs down through the ages as they've died for the faith. And it is something that we must trust God to bring into our lives as well. You know, if you have children in the home, if they're not familiar with, or if you've not read through with them, especially the older children, the stories in Fox's Book of Martyrs, I would certainly commend that as homework over the next few months. Those are stories that our children need to know. Those are stories that we need to know to understand what we're called to do. You see, we struggle to forgive those who have offended us in even minor ways. We take offense so easily. No less a crowd charging at us with their ears plugged, gnashing their teeth, and casting big stones. So I think it is appropriate to ask, why does God call us to be so forgiving? Surely at that time I get to cry out for some vengeance or justice. But no, we're to be forgiving. And I'd put before you at least two very good reasons. First and foremost, it reflects the heart of our most merciful God. A God who takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked and who sent His own Son to die for the sins of the world. And secondly, it is because it is not us who determines upon whom God's mercy will be poured out. Paul teaches us in Romans 9 that God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. Stephen demonstrated his belief in that great truth by asking God to be merciful, even to his executioners. And we know that in fact God was merciful on at least one of these evil men. The one who probably gave Luke the account of this time that Stephen spent in front of the council and the account of his execution. Saul of Tarsus, who would become Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. While it is difficult for us to imagine praying for such enemies, when we step back and see the big picture, it is much easier to see the wisdom of such prayers when God has been merciful to one such as the Apostle Paul. Try to imagine reading the New Testament without all of his various epistles. Finally, this account of the final hours of Stephen's life reminds us of the importance of living in the presence of God. It is only there where we can rightly discern the many mysteries and challenges of the Christian life. Stephen demonstrates what it means to live in the presence of our triune God, which is why we celebrate Trinity Sunday every year. Not that we ignore the Trinity on the other 51 Sundays. You know, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday each year does not take away from our remembrance of His resurrection at this table each week. In the same way, our focus on the nature of God on Trinity Sunday does not take away from our weekly triune proclamation, which begins our worship service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Easter reminds us that the resurrection of Jesus happened in real history, and the proper study of the Trinity should remind us of how we are always living in God's presence.
Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660. My Jesus.